Time for Business Hour with Giles Beckford. Kia ora, Giles. It seems COVID hasn't done much to slow the surging house prices.
Kia ora, Tiamani. No, the lockdowns may have dented the housing market, but certainly doesn't seem to have done it too much damage. The Real Estate Institute House Price Index, which measures the changing value of property, was up 2% in September on August for an annual increase of more than 30%, which is just a shade below the August annual rise. Seasonally adjusted median price rose 15% to $795,000, although it did fall 6.5% on August. House sales were down 38% on a year ago. The Institute's chief executive, Jen Baird, says the market is buoyant almost everywhere but Auckland and Waikato.
The pace of increase in prices has slowed somewhat over the last few months. We would expect to see that through winter months, though, and we're heading into a really busy time in real estate, into spring and summer months. And we would expect, given the current situation, that the market will remain quite active. However, those demand headwinds that you talk about, the OCR and the changes that the government made for investors back in March, will start to have an effect.
Jen Baird says the market's likely to see further price pressures once the Auckland region returns to normal business. Well, leading investment firm Jarden Securities is the latest to be caught in a crackdown on rule-breaking by the Financial Markets Authority. The company's been censured by the authority for mixing up investor money with derivatives trading, from derivatives trading, with its own. That's known as co-mingling, and as such is not allowed under the terms of its trading licence. The rule breaches were actually committed by the niche investment company OM Financial, which Jarden's predecessor, First NZ Capital, bought in 2019 and was integrated into broader operations earlier this year. The FMA says OM Financial transferred about $1 million of its own money into a trust account which held investor funds in case of a shortfall in settling deals. The authority's Director of Supervision, James Gregg, says no client money was lost, but it was at risk, and the breaches were serious. A recently established capital market designed for medium and small businesses expects to have 7 businesses listed soon. Catalyst Markets granted a license to operate a public exchange in June. It's aimed at businesses valued between $6 and $60 million. As founder and chief executive Colin McGee says, Catalyst has attracted a lot of interest from new and well-established companies from a wide range of sectors. He says a diverse range of 1,600 investors have signed up to trade on the public market.
The largest group of investors is the over 65s at the moment. That might be because a lot of our, well, all of our transactions at the moment are in that wholesale space, and they're more likely to be able to invest in that space. So the next largest cohort is the 21 to 25, those investors who perhaps have slightly less disposable income but are interested in diversifying the way they invest.
And one of the new companies to list on its wholesale operation is the dairy genetics company Tropical Dairy Group, which is aimed to breed cattle which will do well in hot climates. Well, the unexpected strength in merger and acquisition activities is expected to continue next year. A report from the law firm Simpson Grierson shows 70 deals have been completed so far this year. That compares with 79 for the whole of 2020. And the firm's picking that up to 95 deals will be finalised by the end of this year. Total value has jumped nearly threefold to $14.6 billion, boosted by some big sales and low interest rates, which have inflated asset prices. A partner at Simpson Grierson, James Hawes, says he doesn't expect the demand for local firms to slow.
So the likes of tech in particular and health, and a number of big health deals already this year, and we think there'll be another couple, you know, if not by the end of the year, into next year. I think that, you know, hopefully with the borders opening up, I think the first quarter is the plan next year. You know, it'll be interesting to see whether or not that creates an incremental increase in sort of deal volumes, even over and above what we're experiencing now.
James Hawes expects increasing overseas interest in New Zealand carbon farms and energy infrastructure. Let's see how the markets are performing with Michael Grace of Jarden Securities. Good afternoon to you, Michael.
Good afternoon, Giles.
It looked like a pretty solid start for the local share market.
That's right. It's been a strong start to the day's trading. The NZX 50 is currently up 65 points to 13,089. A2 Milk is leading the pack today, up 6.7% to $7.36, following signs that China sales channels have improved. Synlait Milk, also a beneficiary of this news, is up 7 cents to $3.89. And Port of Tauranga is up 15 cents to $6.89. On the flip side, Vital Healthcare Property is down 5 cents to $2.96 after coming out of a trading halt following yesterday's capital raise. And lastly, Mercury Energy is down 5.5 cents to $6.28.
Well, just a headline number for Australia's Open, please, and then the currency.
Yeah, shortly after the open, the ASX 200 is up 47 points to 7,319. The Kiwi has strengthened today and is currently buying 69.67 US cents, 94.39 Australian cents, 50.98 British pence, 60.09 Euro cents, 78.92 Japanese yen, and 4.46 Chinese yuan.
And how's it looking for interest rates, oil and gold?
The 90-day bank bill is currently at 0.71%. Brent crude is at $83.18 a barrel. And gold is at $1,792 an ounce.
Thank you very much. Michael Grace from Jarden Securities. One other item this lunch hour, global shipping giant Maersk has named Auckland as one of the more congested ports in the Asia-Pacific region. It says vessels have been waiting 3 days or more for berths at Auckland and a host of other ports around the region in South Korea, China, Singapore and in Sydney. Maersk expects strong demand from Asia will continue for the rest of the year and says upcoming holidays are likely to cause seasonal volume rushes. It says it's been shifting empty containers to where they're needed, but shortage is being exacerbated by slow handling at some ports. Interestingly, the US government's just announced that major ports on the west coast of the US will start working 24 hours a day, 7 days a week.